ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Whoops, we're missing two letters from the word Gayanti. Gayanti. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 11, Translation and Commentary. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tadvag visargo janatagha viplavo. यस्मिन् प्रतिश्लोकमबधव्यत्यपि नामान्यनन्तस्य यशोऽङ्कितानि यत् शृण्वन्ति गायन्ति गृह्णन्ति साधवः। Verse translation. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport. It is a qualification of the great thinkers to pick up the best even from the worst. It is said that the intelligent man should pick up nectar from a stock of poison, should accept gold even from a filthy place, should accept a good and qualified wife even from an obscure family, and accept a good lesson even from a man or from a teacher who comes from the untouchables. These are some of the ethical instructions for everyone in every place without exception. But a saint is far above the level of an ordinary man. He is always absorbed in glorifying the Supreme Lord, because by broadcasting the holy name and fame of the Supreme Lord, the polluted atmosphere of the world will change, and as a result of propagating the transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, people will become sane in their transactions. While preparing this commentation on this particular stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field, yet we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries without ill feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness, and every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple, and there was no question of political diplomacy. There is no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel on slight provocation. This is due not to the issue in question, but to the polluted atmosphere of this age. Systematically, there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, There is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. The mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. If there is a change of heart of the leaders only, certainly there will be a radical change in the atmosphere of the world. We know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail, and there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty God. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors, who may be foreigners, and yet, without knowing their language, the victims of the fire express themselves, and the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of this Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted message of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general, all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description, and everyone knows it well. There are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature, yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct, but because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. In the beginning, they might not like it, because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy, but we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. When men have a taste for this literature, their hankering after other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by such an authority as Sri Narada, who has kindly appeared in this chapter. Most of my day, every day, for many months now, is going in working on a book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, quite an extensive book. This particular purport, as given, or the purports in this section, they very much catch Srila Prabhupada's mood, what he envisaged as his mission. I say envisaged because Srila Prabhupada wrote this sitting alone in Vrindavan. There was no movement. There was no sign of any movement. There was no possibility of any movement, practically. No one was thinking about it except Srila Prabhupada. And when he started to express that to others, then no one took it seriously. But it did manifest, as is evidenced by us sitting here together in a country which, at the time when Srila Prabhupada wrote this, it was not possible to preach such things in. In fact, the country Croatia didn't exist at the time. It was part of Yugoslavia. What does Yugo mean? Joined together, like
south.
I see. I thought that might be something like yoga, yukti. No, south. The southern Slavs, as opposed to the Poles, for instance, who are in the north. Is it? So there was the country Yugoslavia, and there was. It was one of the, definitely one of the milder socialist countries, but preaching of God consciousness was not encouraged, to say the least. So Srila Prabhupada's mission came out successful. Well, there are levels of success also. Srila Prabhupada said that if one person became a pure devotee, I would consider my mission successful. At the same time, he wanted to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And we find that in this purport, the sense of urgency. Srila Prabhupada sitting there, and you might think, yeah, he's another retired person sitting in Vrindavan, he's writing something, typing away there. And it's a bit unusual. Most sadhus, they just chant and they visit temples. There are so many who would retire. Not so many. I mean, it was really Manushanam Sahasreshu. It was one in more than 1,000 would retire and go to Vrindavan. But they weren't writing, hardly. There were one or two. There was the Harinam Press in Vrindavan. I'm not sure when that was started, but that's... Shamlal Hakim was translating, I'm not sure exactly when, his books. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Srila Prabhupada must have known him, I guess. There are a few who are writing, but then that Shamlal Hakim was writing in Hindi. Writing in English in Vrindavan must have seemed very strange, because in Vrindavan, hardly anyone spoke English. Bon Maharaj was there. He spoke English very well. There are a few here and there, but Srila Prabhupada is writing in English with the idea of taking it all over the world. That was his plan. He's writing the books and then he's going to go to the West. He didn't start to make moves to go to the West until these books were finished. Of course, previously he tried to go to Japan, but he wanted to get this first volume of Bhagavatam printed, which is a huge job. When you're on your own, you have no money. And he has to. And in those days, printing was a step-by-step task. You first of all had to type it out, then get it hand-typeset. What an excruciating job. When I first started to print books, it was still hand-typesetting. And then it moved to linotype, and then to phototype, and this and that. Became easier. type it all out, send it to the typeset. Then you have to check for the zillions of typos that the typesetter will make. Especially when in India at that time. To know English at that time in India was unusual and very prestigious. Then you, what do you do next? Then the type here. It's on a block, and then you put it on the this kind of press, and then it gets printed, and then you have to buy the paper, find a printer, set a price, and so many things. Then it has to be collated, cut, bound. There are so many steps to it. So Srila Prabhupada did that with great effort. And he had to, another thing, you have to pay the printer. And you have to pay everyone. You have to pay for the paper. You have to buy the paper separately. Usually in those days, the printers wouldn't do it for you, but you'd want to do it yourself because they'd cheat you if they bought it for you. So Srila Prabhupada went to great effort, but he was not thinking so much of India at that stage. Well, he was, as you'll see, as Prabhupada writes in this purport. Srila Prabhupada gives in this purport the reason why there are so many problems all over the world. Can you remember what Prabhupada wrote? Well, there are several things, but in relation to India, because Indians had failed in their duty to disseminate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you were all probably some of those Indians Prabhupada was referring to. And you got reborn in Croatia. Quite likely. You're all devotees in your previous life. In your previous life, if we take your birth date, for many of you, you wouldn't have been born in the Western ISKCON, you'd have been born in India. So now you're getting the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, or at least in Croatia. There's plenty enough to do in this little country. Everywhere, there's so much to do. So Srila Prabhupada, there's a great sense of urgency. There was a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world, he writes in this purport. And what would be the result of that? Well, we see in the previous verse, Jagat Pavitram. The transcendental literature purifies the whole world. Srila Prabhupada is very focused. He had a very clear plan. He wanted to take this message to the leaders of society. You'll find it in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, if only the leaders of society. Krishna had another plan. He sent to Srila Prabhupada not the lowest people. The lowest people Prabhupada also had, the lowest people in American society, Srila Prabhupada also had a stark contact with, the bums on the Bowery. That means the alcoholics, but not the lowest, but getting down there, pretty low on the scale, the hippies, who are mostly not from low-class families, but they had chosen to live in a dissolute, and dissolute means immoral, yeah, something like that. Dissolute and poverty-stricken manner for many of them. So the free sex and drugs, which were considered largely in American society, that was considered wrong. At that time. It's not now, because all the hippies grew up and became the mainstream. No, they're not hippies anymore, but they're, well, not drugs so much, but free sex, even the hippies couldn't imagine all this transgender, and there's so many things. Trans woman, imagine when you're born. What is that? Oh, yeah. What is that? Is it a boy or a girl? The baby's born. That was the first question you asked. Is it a boy or a girl? And nowadays you say, well, we have to wait for him to decide. because he has to decide later whether he wants to be a boy or a girl. So it's a very, very degraded situation. So Srila Prabhupada is very focused on addressing the leaders of society. Why he writes in this purport? We are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow them. So Srila Prabhupada is very insightful. And he wrote, the mass of people in general are tools in the hands of the modern politicians and leaders of the people. He saw that. So he thought, well, if we get the leaders to change, then naturally everyone else will follow. So he was confident that this is the way it's going to happen. And he was very focused that we have to bring this message to the leaders. And Srila Prabhupada was confident that this philosophy, this teaching is so good and real that naturally people will accept it. You probably all had this experience when you were first reading Srila Prabhupada's book, said, oh, yeah, this is right. This is different category of writing to anything else that I've ever experienced. And actually, that's what this verse says, because this verse follows from the previous verse in which Narad Muni states to Vyasadeva, who he's instructing, Nayadvachas Chitrapadang Harer Yasho Jagat Pavitram Pragrinita Karhichit Tadvayasam Tirtam Ushanti Manasai Nayatrahang Sa Niramantyashikshaya. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. It's an ironic language. Crows don't go on pilgrimage. Crow-like people also don't go on pilgrimage. But just like the people consider, pious people consider a place of pilgrimage sacred, so the crows, just like the pious people like to go to a sacred place, so the crows like to go to a filthy place, full of garbage, stinking. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive pleasure there. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is a completely different kind of literary presentation. And Srila Prabhupada was confident that if the thoughtful people of the world, the intellectuals, were to just receive this, then naturally they would accept it. And we probably all had that feeling too when we first came to Krishna consciousness. We thought, oh, this is great. Let's go and preach and distribute these books, and naturally people will accept it. However, Srila Prabhupada had written at the end of the previous purport, he also knew that the people of the world, the supposed intellectuals and leaders, what did he say about them? He said that the social literary men, scientists, philosophers, and politicians, he described them as prostitute hunters. He was quoting Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam. Prostitute hunters who are absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure. So, great thinkers of the world, influential people whose thoughts have influenced society today. Karl Marx, Sigmund Freud, Charles Darwin, those three, it seems Srila Prabhupada, he thought those three were the most influential. And there are so many others, influential thinkers. John Lennon, Bob Dylan, they're very influential. They're not systematic thinkers, but they had a message. Nowadays, I don't know. Jordan Peterson has some message. So what do they all have in common? What do they all have in common, apart from being human beings? Jordan Peterson, what does he have in common with Karl Marx? He doesn't like Marxism. He also doesn't like God. Really? I thought he was a Christian. He's a Christian who doesn't like God, is it? Yeah. So anyway, the point is that they're all absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure. Marx and the bourgeoisie, who he wanted to remove, they didn't disagree on what they considered to be the purpose of life, which is to enjoy this world. It was just a matter of who gets to enjoy and how. Everyone should have equal opportunity to enjoy this material world. So they're all fools in that regard. So on one hand, Srila Prabhupada was wanting that the people would take this knowledge. At the same time, he realized they're absorbed in sense gratification. But he also saw, we can see from the purport to two verses from here, that his mission was to give people knowledge about the Lord, providing liberation from bondage. Bandha Muktaye. He wanted to do that. We can find in the purport to two verses from here, they want to hear and read from the authorities something about the unknown, but their taste is exploited by unfortunate literatures which are full of subject matter for satisfaction of the material senses. I just last night started watching a series of videos given to me by Bhaktiananda Tirtha Maharaj, who thought I might want to watch that, about the notorious Osho, who's largely forgotten, I guess, nowadays. But he wrote books, and it was mostly intellectual people who were attracted to him. In fact, if you see all the bogus gurus when Srila Prabhupada was present in America, Osho came a little later. Who are they? The prominent ones, this Yogi Mahesh, the you young boys probably, maybe you know, you've heard, Transcendental Meditation, he called it. Then there was this so-called Guru Maharaji, Bal Yogeshwar. You maybe never heard of him. He made his money and retired to India. Those two are very prominent. And there are others, there are others, Sri Chinmay and so many others. Muktananda. Now they all attracted middle class kind of people, or more intelligent or intellectual. And this Osho did also. But they directed people back to sense gratification. In the name, this Osho is such a cheater. I mean, you don't have to see the video to know that. But the people thinking they're getting something spiritual. Actually, in the case of Muktananda, he did actually teach that you have to go. He was teaching the Mayavad, go to the impersonal one and all that. But unfortunately, in his practical life, he was liberating his semen into the bodies of his female disciples. Not so wonderful. So Srila Prabhupada, that was his compassion, with that he wanted to liberate people from birth and death. And one major obstacle he found was to liberate them from these bogus teachers. And liberation means liberation from the wrong idea that I'm supposed to enjoy this material world. Srila Prabhupada, he understood that his method of presentation was flawed in some ways. Did you hear that? Am I saying that Prabhupada made mistakes? Yes. Well, he himself admits here. Mistake in the sense that his language was not standard English. You can call that a mistake. It's not a mistake in sincerity. It's not a mistake in the message. But the language and it was his English was excellent in many ways, but not exactly excellent and poetic, and the message comes across, but the English sometimes is not what would be called standard English. And of course, so many typos came also, despite he was the only proofreader, as far as we know, for his books. So many typos came in the typesetting. But Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Our honest attempt to present this great literature is fraught with many difficulties." I mentioned some of them, the great struggle Srila Prabhupada had to go through just to print his books. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Our presenting this matter in adequate language will certainly fail." So, in other words, Srila Prabhupada was saying that his language is not what would be considered standard English in England or America. And there will be, as Srila Prabhupada writes, there will be so many literary discrepancies to present it in the proper way. However, this very verse says, abhatavatyapi, even if not properly composed. This is Narad Muni speaking. And interestingly, we have written here, yat shrinvanti. I don't know if that's deliberately put in there, but it should actually be yat shrinvanti. It is possible to write it like as it's written, yat shrinvanti, but the standard that's given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the BBT edition, should be yat shrinvanti. So that's an interesting. Still, abhadhavati. But even though such literatures are irregularly composed, they will be accepted by the purified men, Granthi Sadhavaha. Srila Prabhupada's translation of sadhus here, sadhavaha, is plural of the word sadhu. So he states, purified men who are thoroughly honest. So if we're sincere and purified, we should be ready to accept that message. But the problem is that people are not purified and they're not sincere. So then we have to do Harinam and chant the holy names so that people hear and distribute prasadam and try to get people to accept that, and then they can accept these books also. This Srila Prabhupada spoke about how cooperation is needed. He was well aware it's not a one-man job. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, ekala malakarami kaha kaha jabo. I'm only one gardener. He was talking about, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talking about the fruit of love of God. So to tend the garden in which the fruits will come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm only one gardener. We have to distribute this all over the world. So we need many gardeners, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had his Sangopangastra Parshadam. He preached Krishna consciousness with all his associates. Srila Prabhupada went alone, but then he made associates and he writes here that he gives the example that even though the language might not be very easy to understand, and actually although with the help of the editors, of course the BBT editors are much demonized these days, but actually it's I suppose any objective observer who has any knowledge of English language and literature would state seeing the original editions of the Bhagavatam, the Delhi editions, and then how they were edited and produced. It's like polishing a diamond, you can say, because the language is very clear, and you can learn English by reading it. It's very simple, but the message comes across very powerfully. So let's give a round of applause for the editors. It would make a change for all the flack they get. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that just you might not be able to understand someone. You're trying to communicate something, but if the message is urgent, somehow or other you communicate it, even if the message is not understood. And he gave the example that if your fire catches in your house and you go to the neighbors for help, but the person who's going for help doesn't speak the local language, somehow or other you communicate the need for help. So Srila Prabhupada gave this as an example that even though from the literary point of view it might not be so easy to understand, but the purified man will accept this, and then even though it's not properly composed, and then Srila Prabhupada giving this example that the neighbors, they'll help the people whose house is on fire. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. So Srila Prabhupada was mentioning even at that time, even before he went to the West, about the spirit of cooperation. I can speculate here that Srila Prabhupada had seen how the dynamic Gaudiya Math, which was really, really on fire, and in a different way. It was really, dynamic is the word. As long as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, it was going forward, and it just in a short time, so many mutts sprung up all over the world and became prominent and recognized. And then after the departure of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, another kind of fire arose in the Gaudiya Math, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had predicted that a fire will arise. And so the spirit of cooperation had broken down among Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, and there's a lot of infighting, not just verbal, it was legal, and even physical fighting was going on. So Srila Prabhupada is very much aware of the need for cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, it's like a battle cry or a call to arms. Let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literatures which are catering poison to society will then automatically cease. So this was the revolution that Srila Prabhupada had in mind. And Narad Muni had in mind. He's Janataga Viplavaha. Viplava means revolution. Janata means the people in general. Agha means sin. So this literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for bringing about a revolution in the misdirected lives of the sinful population. That's Prabhupada. Narad Muni saw it. Otherwise, where do you find? The Srimad Bhagavatam was there for 5,000 years, but it wasn't creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of the sinful population. It was spoken among the pious population. It wasn't distributed in airports to beef eaters. There were no airports, and there were no beef eaters in India at that time, hardly. or they might have eaten beef, but they didn't kill cows. In other words, how do you do that? You have to wait. Yeah, people would eat beef, but people were allowed to eat beef in ancient India, but they had to wait for the cow to die. Then they could eat. And that would be the lowest section of society. Not even in, far lower than Shudras, they could eat it. But pious people wouldn't eat that. So Narad Muni is foreseeing Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, what's the meaning of this word, Janata Aga Viplavaha? It doesn't have any resonance with reality until Srila Prabhupada made it a reality. And Srila Prabhupada knew or had faith in the words of Shastra that this knowledge can save suffering humanity. Anartho pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya janato vidvangs vidva what is it chakre sattvata sanghita. People in general, they don't know that simply by the simple process of bhakti yoga, devotional service to Krishna, that all their miseries can be relieved. They don't know. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport to two verses from now, the Vedic literatures are specifically recommended to suffering humanity to bring about the desired effect of liberation from the pangs of material civilization, which is eating the vital part of human energy. Srila Prabhupada is, in his humility, referred to his writing as imperfectly composed. But actually, in just like here it says, prati shlokam, in every verse. So in every word of Srila Prabhupada, we find so much import. The material civilization is eating the vital part of human energy. So human energy is required for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's also some energy is required for that. But the vital part or the most essential part of human energy should be in atato brahma jignasa. Now we have the human form of life. We should inquire into that spiritual reality which is beyond the platform of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But mundane civilization puts everyone's energy into the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So people are suffering because of that. They don't know. So the Vedic literature, they liberate people from this by giving knowledge. Veda means knowledge. And although Srila Prabhupada aimed at the leaders, the aim was to reach everyone, as he states again in two verses from now, purport, that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for all the living beings all over the universe for total liberation from all kinds of material bondage. The message is for everyone. It's not just for the leaders and the intellectuals. It's meant for everyone. However, Srila Prabhupada writes again in two purports from now, such transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Lord can be described only by liberated souls. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time, when Srila Prabhupada is writing that would be spoken in Bhagavad Saptahas by professional Bhagavatam speakers. And they presented the matter as they tell the stories, and pious people would come and listen. But it didn't create a revolution in the lives of those people. Now, in one conversation between Tamal Krishna Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, we'll find in, I believe it was anyway, 1977 in Mumbai, they just met one South Indian Sri Vaishnava, who was very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada's work and who described himself as a great fan of Srimad Bhagavatam, and actually he obviously had studied it many times, and he recited many verses from Srimad Bhagavatam in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. But after he left their presence, then Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Goswami were discussing how even people who are pious and appreciate the Srimad Bhagavatam, they don't necessarily believe it. Especially they were discussing the matter of the structure of the universe, because Srila Prabhupada had asked this gentleman to, on the basis of Bhagavatam, can you make a drawing of the structure of the universe? And the man, he didn't push the point very much, but his idea was that, well, that's out of date. That's not real. So Tamal Krishna Goswami pointed out that Prabhupada, you're the only one who actually believes the Bhagavatam, that is not just all some imagination or some stories. So Srila Prabhupada is writing that the Bhagavatam is supposed to be described only by liberated souls. No one else can either know or describe the acts of the Lord. Of course, many others do describe, but they describe it, they think it's allegory, or there's so many things they think, but that this is actual reality. They don't take it like that. They skip the first verse, Satyam Param. This Krishna who's being described is the Supreme Absolute Truth. So in the previous verse to the one which we're reading today, coming after that, Narad Muni says to Vyasadeva that you have written so many things, or you have compiled so many things, edited so many things, but you haven't directly presented the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is. Therefore it is jugupsitam. In the name of religion, you have misled others. So that goes on with the Srimad Bhagavatam also, if it's not presented as it is. Therefore Srila Prabhupada, he so much emphasized on presenting this knowledge as it is. And that, in my experience, my observation, I've been based in India for 43 years now, and there's a big change has come about in the religious scenario among the Hindus due to the influence of Srila Prabhupada, his books, his movement, and his preaching. One major thing is that previously, huge majority, the average Hindu, thought that the Absolute is impersonal. That's undergone a big change now. We can freely talk about Krishna being supreme without having protests at every second, which didn't used to be the case. Now, another thing is that we quote Shastra as if it's real and people accept it. Which also wasn't there, because it was very widespread that the idea that this is all allegorical, it's not real, the stories in the Bhagavatam, they symbolize this and that. Another major change has come about, that people accept, to a large extent, people accept Brahmins according to quality and not simply by birth. Not in marriage matters, but we find even the many traditional Brahmins who are following their culture as much as they can, they accept foreigners or people from lower castes in India as Brahmanas on the basis of their guna and karma, as Srila Prabhupada presented, that should be according to Bhagavad Gita. So These are the kind of people who should be presenting Srimad Bhagavatam. And as Srila Prabhupada writes, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Great need. So that's our mission. Prabhupada's mission is our mission. He's left it to us. It's urgent. It's still urgent. We may say, well, now Krishna consciousness is spread all over the world. Yeah, but still, ahani ahani bhutani gachandiha yamalayam sheshas tavara icchanti kimascharya mataparam. Still, daily, so many humans are dying and going to Yamaraj. And those who are still alive, they think they're going to live forever, or they're acting as if their life is going to go on forever. You see old people, they're working hard, or they're enjoying life, trying to enjoy as if they're still young people, wasting their valuable human form of life. One very important statement that is central to Srila Prabhupada's mission. This comes from the purport to verse 14 of this chapter. A slight deviation may create havoc for self-realization. Very important. Srila Prabhupada's as it is presentation. A slight deviation may create havoc for self-realization. So we hear a lot these days about bridge preaching and indirect preaching, but be careful. Be careful. That is it preaching, or is it even a slight deviation? Because if it's a slight deviation, it has the potential to create havoc for self-realization. Hare Krishna. I've finished there. Much can be said about this, but I'm doing it in 800 pages or so of a book. The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. Any question? Yeah, please. You got the Madhvacharya. Two, not one. Ekatvamanupashyati. Okay, well, this one is, so I'll speak. In the beginning I mentioned Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan.
And he was planned to go to Japan for some...
He planned to go to Japan. I think that was before he started to go to the... Before he was living in Vrindavan. He didn't actually plan to go to Japan, but he saw some advertisement for some conference on world peace or
peace,
something like that.
Something like
then
that.
He wrote to the organizers... Like that. He was just looking for some opportunity to get his message out.
And
at that time, Japan wasn't a prestigious country. It was still recovering from the Second World War, in which it wasn't devastated anything as badly as Germany, but it was its economy was in, and its whole culture was in a shambles because they thought they couldn't lose because the emperor is God. So they were surprised.
Yeah, at that time it was the light of Bhagavat.
The light of the Bhagavat. Srila Prabhupada wrote that specifically for that conference. Yeah.
But today when we are reading...
He didn't go... He couldn't get anyone to sponsor his travel there. He didn't, couldn't
but
avoid
today
to go.
When we read this book, we can find one verse. Right now I'm not prepared for this lecture. I can show you later.
Yeah,
it's explained like after rain, everything coming, nature clean. And in purport it's writing, yeah, we can see our boys and girls, they come dirty from hippies, whatever, and now they shave heads and clean.
Oh, Prabhupada writes about the boys and girls. That must have been...
It was before...
That must have been incorporated from Krishna book, I guess so. Which the same chapter is in Krishna. Show me later. That's very interesting.
I checked in Krishna book many verses,
that.
And it's not.
Oh, that is there in Prabhupada's writing somewhere. I believe it is in Krishna book.
I was searching and the corporate both sides.
No, it may be paraphrased to for the linguistic flow. I wasn't aware of that actually, although of course I read the book, but presumably Srila Prabhupada's disciples I asked him if they could incorporate. No, actually I believe The Light of the Bhagavat was published. It was published. Oh, that's really a from the 1950s, huh?
And it was only verses without commentary, and another side it was verses with commentary. And now we are confused by the first.
Oh, I'd like to see that. And we should send that, should actually be sent to the archives, Bhaktivedanta archives. Now, as far as I remember, The Light of the Bhagavat was published in English as a BBT publication. Obviously it wasn't a BBT publication when Srila Prabhupada first published it, after Prabhupada had left this world. So they probably took a bit of literary license and incorporated Prabhupada's other commentary, which he'd given in Krishna book. That's all I can speculate. Because, yeah, it doesn't, it's an anachronism to state. If we say in the 1950s, and Prabhupada's writing about boys and girls who come to Krishna consciousness, and formerly they were looking very dirty and now they look bright and this and that. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakipa sindhivyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.